Well, this is our day to declare that our Lord is victorious, that He has won not only His battle, He's won our battle. Amen. I believe that God wants to do something in every one of our lives today. You're not here by accident. You're not here just to show off your Easter duds or to appease somebody or just make an appearance. No, I really believe that you're here today so that God can do a work in your life. Every one of us, no matter where we are with our walk with the Lord, we need to believe God to touch our lives today, to do something in us today. Would you believe with me for that as we pray right now? Let's pray. Father, I just thank you, first of all, for the victory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord, that you are here with us. You are in our midst today. And I pray, Father, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would speak to us now and that you would do a work in our hearts. I pray that faith will come as we hear the word of God and that our lives be changed forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to talk to you today about the power of believing. As I said, this is our day to celebrate the victory of our Lord. It's our day to declare that Jesus is alive and that He reigns. He has a name that's above every name. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Jesus Himself declares in Revelation 1:18, He says, "I am He who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Amen. "And I have the keys of hell and of death." He says it very plainly, "I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore." See, He went to the grave, He went to hell, and He proclaimed His victory. And today, we need to proclaim His victory, that He is alive. He's not in a tomb somewhere. I'm telling you, the resurrection is all about power. See, the powers of darkness couldn't hold Him. They couldn't stop Him. He made a show of them. He made a spectacle of them when He came out of the grave. He humiliated the powers of darkness. And you need to always remember this. There's something different about our faith. There's something different about our religion, if that's what you want to call it. People want to say, oh, all of the major religions of the world, they're all the same. Let me tell you something. All the leaders of the world's religions are all dead in a grave and turned back to dust. But Jesus is alive forevermore. There's a difference. Let me tell you what that difference is. It is power. Power to raise the dead. He's not in a tomb. He's risen. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And He lives inside of every believer. Oh, that's power. But we got to believe. He came out of that tomb victorious. Yes, He hung on the cross for our sins. He bore our sins on the cross. He bore our shame. He bore the reproach. He bore our sickness. He bore our sorrows. But let me tell you, when He came out on the other side, there was no more shame. There's no more sickness. There's no more reproach. No more sin. It was gone. He won the victory. This is what the Bible says in Romans 4:25. He was delivered up because of our offenses. See, He had to pay the price for our sins. And He was raised because of our justification. He paid the price for our sins on the cross, but He was raised for our justification. You need to understand, it's very important that Jesus rose from the dead, because Him rising from the dead proves that the price was paid. That it was forever settled. The debt was gone completely. If the debt had not been paid, He could not have risen from the dead. And you need to know that Jesus' resurrection is proof that you are forgiven, that your debt is paid, and that you can be saved. Oh, how powerful to have such a gospel, such good news. The gospel is just a Bible word for good news. Oh, such wonderful news. This is the best news you could ever get, is that God loves us so much that He sent His Son to die for us on a cross. But He didn't only die for us, He was raised to life for us to show us that we could live a new life. That's good news. Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Listen, the good news, this gospel, is the power of God. See, don't belittle our message, the gospel. It is the power of God. That's a lot of power, amen? The gospel is the power of God to salvation. That doesn't just mean a trip to heaven someday. No, salvation means to save us from the sinful human condition and all that it holds, the sickness, the disease, the sin, the shame, all that it holds. No, He saves us. He sets us free. He heals us. He makes us whole. That's the power of the gospel to those who believe. There's power, such power available to those who believe. The key is that we believe. To everyone that believes, we got to believe that God's power is available to work in our lives. You know, when we believe the good news that Jesus died for our sins and then rose from the grave, I'm telling you, there is power to work in your life this morning. We need to get back to a life-changing gospel. We've had too much powerless Christianity, this weak Christianity that requires little faith and has little trouble fitting in with a politically correct world. Let me tell you something. This world doesn't need to see a Christianity that fits in. It needs to see a Christianity that has power. There's something different about our faith. There's power in this faith. When we believe, there's great power available. Life-changing power. That's what the world needs to see. I got to say it again. I'm telling you, they don't need to see us just kind of fit in, but, you know, we got Jesus. He makes our life a little better. No, they need to see that there's something really different. There's a power that God is working in our lives to change us, to make us what He wants us to be. Life-changing power. Too many that believe in Jesus, they say they believe in Him, but they just don't believe that He does miracles, that He changes lives, that He heals, that He delivers, and they reduce the life-changing power of the gospel to nothing more than any other religion. Listen, the gospel doesn't reform, it transforms. It changes your life. You know, if you tell people that God has changed your life. You say, God's changed my life. You know, a lot of people will just kind of patronize you. They'll say something like, oh, well, that's nice. That's nice. But when you tell them, you know, I used to be an alcoholic, but I'm not anymore. They'll say, oh, no, wait a minute. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. A man who says, I used to be a homosexual, but God delivered me from that life. They say, oh, no, that's not possible. If you're a homosexual, you'll always be a homosexual. I want to tell you that is not what the Bible teaches. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. It says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Oh, there's a lot of deception in our world. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. He says, that's what you used to be. Not anymore. Change, life-changing power. I'm telling you, this is our gospel. It is the power to change our lives. He says, such were some of you, but you were sanctified. You were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Oh, that might be what you used to be. There might be something in your life that you're struggling with right now. You need to understand that's not who you are. That's not who God wants you to be. And He has the power to change you, to wash you, to sanctify you, to help you to overcome and get victory in that area of your life. The one that raised Jesus from the dead, He can certainly help you get victory in your life. 2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about the last days, and I believe we are living in the last days. And it says that in the last days, it's going to be terrible times, and one of the signs of the time is that there are going to be people who have a form of religion, but they deny the power of God. They don't believe that the power of God really works in people's lives. They talk about the power. They talk a good talk, but they don't really believe. You know, it's okay to talk about it as long as you don't start really believing this stuff. Church, we need to believe. We need to believe that this is real. I don't want to have a chicken theology. You know what chicken theology is? The chickens get together in the barnyard, and the head chicken, he starts talking about how we can all rise above and soar like eagles, and we can all fly. The chickens get all excited, and they all flap their wings a little bit and strut around in the barnyard. But let me tell you, when the service is over, they all walk home. It's, you know, they talk, but they still walk. And I'm telling you, church, it's supposed to be something more where we really believe God. Not just talk about it, not just talk good, talk faith and talk religion, but we really believe that there's life-changing power in this gospel. Takes the power of God to live a Christian life. See, that's what the scripture says. We live by faith. It can't be done with human effort. It takes life-changing power. See, it's not just try harder. Try harder. Have you ever tried harder? Oh, come on, I hope more than two of you have. Let me see. Have you ever tried harder? Listen, all of us have tried harder. And sometimes we do a little better for a while. But it's not about try harder. Listen, that's the old works of the old law. Try harder, try harder. Listen, we are righteous by faith. It is God's power that changes us. As we believe, that's what we need to do. Believe. Take God at His word. Believe what He said. There's a wonderful prayer in Ephesians chapter 1 where Paul prays for the church at Ephesus. And there are some great truths that he reveals here in this prayer. I want to read it to you, beginning from verse 15. He says, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened." I want to tell you, we need our eyes opened to understand the spiritual truths of the Word of God. There are some things that people have just been blinded to, and we need to see. He says, "that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe." Listen, not a little dab of power, not just a little touch. No, the exceeding greatness of His power. It's awesome power. It is the God of the universe who can do anything. He says the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. How does that power work in us? It's as we believe. That power, He says, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the age to come. That same power that brought Jesus out of the grave and seated Him in the heavenly places. All the powers of hell could do nothing about it. That same power that raised Jesus works in those who believe. You need to believe that, church. Well, I'm telling you, I'm talking to you this morning. You need to believe that that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says, works in those who believe. It's available to us. But not everybody's walking in it. Not everybody's experiencing it, because it works in those who believe. There's two things that make a sailboat go. One is wind. That's the power. You got to have some wind. You got to have some power. But then you also have to have a sail. That's what makes the wind work, is when it hits that sail. And I'm telling you, God provides the power, but we got to get the sails of our faith up. That's how this life works. We believe, and God moves and works in our life. That's how the power comes in our life. It's as we believe. It's through faith. We live in this world of skeptics where it's impacted much of the church to the point that Christians struggle so much to believe for God's power to truly work in their life. I want to remind you again, it's the exceeding greatness of His power that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. That's the power that's available to us when we believe. And the key to that power is believing. One of my favorite scriptures is Ephesians 3:20. It says, "Now to Him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Listen, He can do way more than you could possibly imagine, exceeding abundantly above all we could think or imagine. What's your struggle right now? What weakness are you dealing with? What battle are you in? What is that difficulty, that challenge? Maybe something that you had long given up on even. Can you imagine what it would be like? Can you even think such a thing, what it would be like to finally have victory, to overcome in that area of life? Can you even imagine it? He's able to do way far more than that. He says, according to the power. We're talking about power. Not man's power, not human effort, God's power. According to the power that works in us. And that power works in us as we believe. His power is available. Jesus says in Mark 9:23, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." All things. That means power is available if we can believe. So whatever your struggle, whatever your weakness, don't accept that you can never win. You can never win on your own, but you're not on your own. Your faith and your trust is in the Almighty God. And if you'll believe, He said, nothing will be impossible. Very simple verse of Scripture, 1 John 5:1. It says that whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And it's not talking about just a mental assent that you agree that Jesus is the Christ. It's talking about putting your faith and trust in Him. But when you truly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the one who paid the price for your sin and rose from the dead, then you are born of God, born of Him. You are actually His son, His daughter. You're not an ordinary, just plain old person anymore. Let me tell you something. You're a new creation in Christ. That's not cause for pride on our part. It's cause for humility and worship and praise, because it is God who has done that in us. But you need to know that God has changed your life. You're a new creation in Christ. That's what the Bible says. Just a few verses later in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, he says this, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So what is it you need to overcome? This is how you overcome: by faith, by trusting in Him. When we believe, the power of Christ causes us to overcome. So whatever you need to overcome this morning, maybe it's dealing with some things in your past. What, there may be some barriers holding you back today, fears, anxiety about the future, some personal weakness or failure. Listen, there's power to help you to overcome if you'll just believe Jesus. It is power to live a new life. Romans 6:4. Every Christian needs to know this verse. Romans 6:4. This is what water baptism is about. Water baptism is about showing the world that our old man, that old person that we were, has died with Christ, and we have been raised to live a new life with Christ. Romans 6:4, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should we walk in the newness of life. Just as Christ was raised from the dead, we walk in the newness of life. It's not the same old life. No, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. It's not just about a ticket to heaven. It is about a totally new life. Church, we need to believe and live this new life that he's called us to. It's available to us. So many Christians are like the old guy who's been driving that clunker for 340 years. He drives down the road and there's a cloud of smoke that follows him, and the paint has long faded. Some of it's starting to rust, and the vinyl top, that tells you how old it is, right? The vinyl top is peeling off. The seats are tattered. The air conditioner doesn't work. When he turns a corner, the power steering's whining, and his friends keep telling him, you need to get a new car. Why don't you go buy a new car? He finally takes a wad of cash from all that money he saved driving that clunker for 340 years, and he goes down and he buys him a Cadillac off the showroom floor. It's got everything on it, the best you can buy, and he drives it home. He's so proud, and he pulls it up in the garage, but guess what? He doesn't drive it. He drives the old clunker. You still see him going down the road, stinking it up. And that's exactly where a lot of Christians are. They got saved. They're born again. They're going to heaven someday. They just got it for the trip home. They're still stinking it up. I'm telling you, ours is supposed to be a totally new life. Why live the old life anymore? There's power to live a new life in Christ. It's available to us, but we got to believe and choose to live that new life. We live by faith. Many years ago, this is even before my time, this is a long time ago, there was a comedy act with George Burns and Gracie Allen. In real life, Gracie Allen was a smart businesswoman, but in their comedy act, she always played a simple-minded, naive woman. And in one act on the radio, she's complaining, she's talking about how her clock wouldn't work, and she finally had to call a repairman, and the repairman came out, and he told her immediately, he said, there's nothing wrong with this clock, you got to plug it in. She said, well, I know that, but I didn't want to waste electricity, so I only plug it in when I need to know what time it is. Now, I got to tell you that that's the way a lot of Christians are with their faith. You know, when they really need something from God, I'm going to go plug in because I really need some help here, God. That's not the way it works. We're supposed to live by faith. And yes, God has mercy on us when we come to him in a desperate situation, but this is a life of faith where we are believing God every day and walking by faith, living this new life. That's the way it works. Power is available to those who believe. You know, he doesn't ask us to do anything that he won't enable us to do. He'll empower us if we'll believe Him. And whatever your struggle is, maybe it's with your temper or jealousy or envy or lust or some other personal weakness, I tell you, you need to believe that you are a new creation in Christ and that God's power is at work in you so that you can overcome. If you lack self-discipline, need to be more consistent in your prayer time, believe His power is working in you. You're dealing with fear, struggling with fear, believe His power is at work in you. You've got power over all the power of the enemy, power to fulfill His purpose in your life, power to do all of the things He's called you to do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, this is the Bible. This is what the Bible teaches. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We just have to believe. Believe what He said. But whatever struggle, weakness, don't accept that you can never win, but trust Him. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. You know, sometimes when you've been dealing with something in your life for a long, long time, a weakness, a battle, a sickness, you can get to the place where you just settle in and think that it won't ever change. It's just the way it is. He says, I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is no. He can do anything. And it doesn't matter how long it's been this way, how great the battle, how the deck is stacked against you, our God can change it. He can do a miracle in your life. I want to close with this story from Luke chapter 8, verse 43 through 48. A woman having a flow of blood for 12 years. That's a long time to be sick. She had spent all of her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. She came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, who touched me? Now, as Jesus is walking through this crowd, people are up against him and touching him constantly. And so Peter says, Lord, what do you mean? Who touched you? Jesus answers, he says, somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me. This is an amazing story of the power of God and faith. Jesus didn't turn around and look for this woman and say, where are you, lady? I want to pray for you. I'm going to heal you. No, he's walking through the crowd and he stops and he says, who touched me? Power went out from me. This woman knew that if she could touch the hem of Jesus' garment, she had faith. She knew that if she touched the hem of his garment, she was going to be healed. And that's exactly what happened. She was healed immediately. Verse 47, now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. Trembling, like she had done something wrong. You know, you could say that maybe she had done something wrong because with a woman with an issue of blood was unclean and she wasn't supposed to touch other people. That would make them unclean. But I think there was something more here. And I think this is something that a lot of people struggle with. The audacity to think, to ask that God would do such a miracle for me, that God would show me such favor, that God would bless me to believe for such a thing. And I'm telling you, He wants to do that for you. He loves you. If you'll believe Him, if you'll trust Him today, if you'll put a demand on that faith and power, believe that God will heal you, believe that God will set you free, believe that God will change you, He can do that. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your faith has made you well. All these people touching Jesus, but this woman was healed. Why? Her faith made her well. I'm telling you, there's great power available when we believe. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray, and I want our prayer partners to go ahead and come. Father, I believe this morning, Lord, that your power is here, that you are here. And I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would change lives today. I pray, Father, that during this part of the service, that faith would rise in the hearts of your people just as it rose in that woman's heart. And Lord, that they will act on their faith. I pray, Father, that you be glorified in it all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Will you believe this morning? Believe. Whatever you struggle with, over and over, believe. You need to change, believe. You need God to change your life, believe. You need to be healed today, believe. He's here this morning. If you need a miracle in your marriage today, believe, believe. You have a teenager that's going the wrong direction, believe. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. That was an answer to a man who wanted Jesus to heal his demon-possessed child. I'm telling you, believe. All things are possible. Whatever it is that you need this morning, believe. That God is willing and able. I want to encourage you this morning to put action to your faith. I suppose the woman who was healed could have just stayed back and said, well, I believe. But sometimes we need to press through the crowd. Sometimes we need to press through the peer pressure or whatever else, the pride that might hold us back. And we need to say, I believe. I'm going to take action on my faith. And I'm telling you, whatever you're believing for this morning, you come and you let one of these prayer partners pray with you. You say to these prayer partners, I believe that God is going to do this in my life. I believe God is going to do this in my life. There's great power available to those who believe. So as we worship and pray, if you believe, you come, let God's power work in you this morning.